Wait, wait, stop, that's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others.
And then the snow in San Antonio happened. I don't know if you remember that, where we had no power.
Oh, yeah. Was that Texas?
Yes. I'm in San Antonio, Texas. Yes.
Yeah. That was crazy. So, wow, you were there? I'm so sorry.
Yes. With a disabled mother who has severe arthritis, healing from cancer, you know, been healing. And then I have three children. We had no power for 2.5 days.
Also, question for you. Is your mom... So you are still in, and your mom is still disfellowship, or she's still in as with you?
No, my mom got reinstated within 6 months when I was 5 years old.
Right,
okay. My mom is still in.
Right, okay.
My mom is still in. Mm-hmm. My mom moved out from, I'll get to that, but she doesn't live with me anymore. But, we had that, right? And I had my mom, my kids, we had no power. Well, mind you, the ones who loved me so much, did anybody... try to bring us firewood? I had a fireplace in my house. Nobody brought us firewood. My dad, my disfellowship dad, and my brother, who's been out for 10 years, they made the trip 20 minutes away, which took them an hour, to come, and then went to a witness house to pick up firewood, because not one person in my fucked up congregation gave us two shits about the single mom with the elderly mom and the three kids in their home that had no power.
No surprise.
And then I talked
there.
To other friends who had power throughout the city. Not one of them said, hey, just bring your mom. Or not one of them said, hey, one of them had an RV. The same self-righteous bitch that gave me some shit about after I left and told me never to talk to her husband, who was like my other dad. She had an RV, empty RV, with AC, electrical, heating, everything. Didn't say, bring your mom. Didn't let anyone. Every JW I knew was just out for themselves. And then that same person said, well, not everybody. There was this one congregation in the country that the brother went and picked up all the single moms with their kids and took them to their home because they had electricity. Well, that's one story out of how many thousands of witnesses in San Antonio?
It seems like the Mormons did so much better, because I hear a lot of, I'm in some Mormon groups, and they have a lot of great stories to tell about that.
Witnesses are not kind. They're not kind unless you are in their clique.
Yeah.
I got in a clique, and they helped me with my roof. But then it was so hard to get in that clique, and there were certain members of the clique that didn't like me, so I faded out of that clique after a while. But that clique helped me do my roof. But would they have helped me if I hadn't been in their clique? Hell no. And you know what they did? They helped tear the roof down. And then I do have a complaint, because the brother who was always able, who has so many health problems, can barely walk supposedly, but was always ready to go to a quick build, right? Or a disaster relief. He always has the energy to do that, right? But can't do shit else and can't remember and supposedly is on all these drugs that make his brain foggy. Well, he's a roofer. And he promised to oversee my roof, right? Well, they did oversee the beginning of it. They oversaw the teardown, which was great. We had a lot of help. I tell you, I spent hundreds of dollars every day that they came for the teardown and everything, feeding everybody and everything, right? Single mom. Nobody else offered to bring food or anything, right? One stupid bitch showed up with food for herself and not even for her own husband. She sat there at my dining room table and ate it. And then
not her husband.
Her name was Amy. She was such a bitch. I'm telling you, like, she literally came to her husband, and her husband was the sweetest man in the world. This is one of the ones that I'm telling you, there are genuine good JWs. He saw that his wife always kept my family out. He would invite our family to include us. He would make the effort. He was nice to my son. He took 2 days off of work, 1 or 2 days off of work, and used his personal time off to help me do my roof when we did the teardown. He was a good man. And she treats him like shit. She's a spoiled fucking housewife that just whatever. Poor guy.
You know, it's sad that...
She didn't even bring him a Rue 44 slush drink.
It's sad that a lot of these people are just playing pretend, and it sucks. Like, can you just be yourself and still do the shit stuff that you do?
When you call out, it's like, you need to turn the other cheek. You need to put on the new personality. You can't expect so much from others. Really? But they can expect it from me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, it was just ridiculous. But so anyways, so 2020, we're doing the Zoom meetings. Towards September, I started dating the perverts, not really dating, but meeting ones. I actually, and it's weird because I've learned that the universe really does attract who, like, it was crazy because once I was fully awake, I literally attracted a Pimo brother on JW Match, like earlier of 2021, right before I met my boyfriend. And we were talking, and nothing came out about being Pimo, physically in, mentally out. But the things he would say, I was like, man, this guy can't be a witness. But he can. But he is. But he can. And Elder was suing him. He's going through all sorts of stuff. But then I was like, he finally asked me about the Australian thing, what I knew about it. And I was scared because I was like, man, had I given myself away, you know?
He's probably an FBI trying to, like, get you in trouble.
No, he lived in some small town. He was a small town plumber, redneck. He's like a little guy. He called himself that. So, but yeah, he was like, I'm just a redneck plumber, he would say. But no, he's just lived in a little small town, had the country accent and everything. We talked a lot. And he said he will never leave because it would destroy his parents. He doesn't even believe in God anymore. But yet, he was going to stay a Jehovah's Witness through all the bullshit.
Yep.
Because of his family. And there's so many people that do it. It makes me so sad.
Yep. Joining those groups, I'm shocked because I grew up in a bubble and I was really dumb. And when I learned all these things, I was just like,
naive. Not oh dumb, my naive. God. You gotta say naive.
Naive.
We didn't know. We were so
brainwashed.
Sheltered and brainwashed. I know. Yes, exactly. So here's a part of the story that if my son listens, he's going to probably be very upset. So as I started dating, I even ended up taking a trip to meet someone online. Craziest thing. I wrote all these letters in case I died.
Oh no.
I have these letters to my kids, like, I'm sorry, stay close to Jehovah, blah blah blah, because if I died, I deserved what I was getting. I was still, even though I was awake and waking up, I still was, you know, stupid thoughts. So I went, I met him, it didn't work out. He brought me back to Texas, we did a road trip back, something happened with his mom, everything was fine. But, you know, he was one step closer to what I was looking for. Then I dated a little bit here and there, whatever. Anyways, I don't know. I'd been talking to my best friend because, oh, then my best friend finally got reinstated in January of 2021. Because now she had God's Holy Spirit when she turned in her last bullshit letter, right? Now, a year had passed by. That was what it was. They made her wait a year. At 9 months, they told her, Jehovah hasn't forgiven you. At a year, they said, oh, we can clearly see Jehovah in your spirit. When you read the difference between the two letters, it's bullshit. It's so stupid. Anyways, so I told my best friend how I was... it's so insane how they really claim it. I told my best friend, and she kept telling me, you need to just talk to your kids. You need to just talk to them. She had come by several times and seen them, and we had all basically checked out of the meetings. None of us were getting dressed, because I didn't give a... Because for one, when the whole Zoom thing started, I thought it was the stupidest fucking thing that I've got to spend 30 to 45 minutes to get dressed and get on a fucking camera. When they started saying, we need to see you in the camera, you need to be in my house, fuck you, I hated it. So then we turned it on only when we commented. And then it got to where... What ended up really triggering me, and I stopped, I really checked out and didn't care if my little one was, we were sitting at a talk, and this one elder, I swear he's gay, he's a closet, he's
a lot of Omar.
Homophobic gay man, grown-ass gay man, 50 years old.
Yep.
He's over here telling, he's over here in, at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, telling us in our computer about oral sex and about anal sex, and my 9-year-old is fucking sitting right there like, huh?
Yep. And he's probably and afterwards going online and do it.
That. How God doesn't allow any of that. He had to keep saying those words, oral, anal, Jehovah doesn't approve, blah, 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 this and that. I mean, and did they do a talk to correct that? Because they stopped judging that shit. Anyways, no, they didn't. But this fucker, get this, he's never been married. He has no children. And then he continues to tell us
he's
that
gay.
We need to make sure that the kids know all the genital parts and they know everything by the preschool age. You're telling me how I need to teach my child. You don't have any kids of your fucking self.
Uh-huh.
I told my 9-year-old to leave the room. I never in my life, that was the biggest wake-up call for me. Like, if everything hadn't woken me up, that woke me up. Because the fact that this is God's word, and this is the truth, and this is this, and that, and blah, blah, blah. And I can't have my child sitting there listening to it. And I know some people will say, well, there's nothing wrong with that nowadays, blah, blah, blah. My child had homeschooled. She's very much happy with being a child and staying a child. And you're not going to force me into talking about something to my kid that I'm not ready to. Or I haven't prepared for yet.
Right.
It's not your place to tell me. I mean, of course my kid knows not to let anyone touch her and the bad spots. Of course she knows that. But I don't need to go into graphic detail and teach my kids everything about sex by the time they're 4 years old.
And it's a parent's job, not some preacher.
Not some pompous closet elder.
Yeah, he's like 100% gay.
Oh, no, you, oh gosh, if you saw some of the way, yeah, he is. Anyways, he really is, and he's an asshole. He's another one of those assholes who doesn't give a crap about anybody.
A lot, they're anyways, unhappy, that's why they behave like that. It's so sad. It's so sad.
They really are. I know, it is, and you feel sad for him, but then you're like, make your life better, and that's where I'm at with my mom. I wish my mom would completely wake up and make her life better. But anyways, so with my kids, what happened was I talked to my daughter first, my 14-year-old. My 14-year-old broke down, and I went and I talked to her, and I told her, I said, I wanted to know how she felt. And I let her tell me, and then I told her how I felt. But I was still kind of sugarcoating it with them because I didn't want to stumble them, you know. So I was like, I still believe in Jehovah, in Jesus. I just don't feel like we should. After she told me, because I was, my whole goal and what I had told my best friend was, I am not here to influence my kids anymore. It is on them. They need to develop their relationship with God, the universe, whoever they put faith in. It's all between them. Just like I wasn't the mom that at first when they got baptized, yeah, I was like, hey, now it's on you. You got to prepare or whatever, right? My kids started preparing. It's just a habit. They did it. They got a comment. They always commented. We always commented. But I was never like Bible beating them. You know what I mean? Ever. Never like that. So, like, she broke down and told me that she wanted to go to college. She wanted to be a doctor. She did not want to go to the meetings anymore. She's a feminist. She never understood why women could only pioneer. There was an example in Ezekiel that came out a few years ago where the winged women, and this is the only example in the Bible, and a lot of people don't know about it, but the winged women literally carried a false religion or whatever they interpreted, carried the badness away from God's people. Basically, is what the illustration is. So we kind of harped on the fact that why was it winged women? If women aren't supposed to do anything, if women aren't supposed to, you know, why did he put them in charge of that? Why did he have female judges? Why did he have, you know, things like that? So she brought up about that. She cried to me about wanting to go away to college. I told her she would never have to step foot in the Kingdom Hall again. I told her I was scared with my son, because I didn't want to, and she was like, no, just talk to him. She already knew. She knew he was, so actually what happened was, She talked to him because I was kind of scared. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know how to say it to my son. Like, you feel like waking up and then going to your kids is probably one of the most humbling experiences ever after you've been teaching them for so long.
Yeah.
That this was the right way. How do you do that?
Right.
Most parents would never admit wrong.
Oh, my parents never did.
But I did. I admitted wrong when I was teaching them about going back to the religion. I told them, I said, I fucked up. I messed up. I'm in time out. I'm grounded right now when I was a fellowship. So I talked to my son briefly when they were doing something in the room. And then they came and we all talked. But Isaiah hadn't known that at the time that I had talked to him. And so it all came out. And that's when we all talked about everything we felt. And our experiences and everything. And I felt so bad because they kept doing it even when they didn't want to. But one thing my kids promised me and they told me was that it was never because I was forcing them. Like, they, you know, like a lot of kids' witnesses, they're like, I have to. My parents are making me go do this. You know? My kids admitted that that was not, they were doing it because they wanted to, because they didn't want to lose their friends, they didn't want to lose their social community, which is how they blackmail you.
Right, yeah.
They blackmail you emotionally, mm-hmm. because if you think differently, that's it. So we set out a plan, and this was probably about April or May of 2021. We were going to just stay minimally active, And then come back. And then we were going to, I think this was about May. Yeah, this was about May. Or, no, I'm sorry, it was after. May to June, more or less. So, yeah, no, we made the plan that the wedding was in September and Isaiah was going to be in the wedding and, you know, say bye to his friends. And then I told my kids that it was their truth that they needed to live. And however they needed to say bye to their friends, they could. I had started talking to a couple of friends of mine that I was close to. Like I said, one of them that stopped talking to, a couple of them that have. And I said a few things, little things about how I felt. And it's funny because when I mentioned those things, they all felt the same way. But that's where they stop. They won't read into anything. Mm. And this was before the assembly had been released. So, yeah, we had all talked before the assembly had been released. So my son, one after the wedding happened, around all this same time, my son and my daughter both said bye to their friends. My daughter had two close friends because she's an introvert that she wanted to talk to. I took her over to her friend's house. She told her friend her questions. She had three questions. One was about the women in the organization. One was about the elders. And one was about something about Adam and Eve. I can't remember exactly. But her little friend and her went to JW.org, and they could not find the answer. They could not find anything. Did they go to any other website? No. Did my daughter get labeled an apostate shortly after that? And was labeled giving people apostate information? Yes. I'll continue. And this was a family that me and her mom, that little girl's mom, had been pregnant together. My daughter had literally known her since birth.
Wow.
And I've known that mom since I was 4 years old. So my son, on the other hand, what he did was, after the wedding was done and everything, he said, he sent a message to his friends saying he didn't want to be a witness. He didn't want to talk about it right now, but he loved everybody. He respected everybody's decision, blah, 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 right? From one day to the next, he went from all his followers down to 10. They spread that shit like wildfire. And shunned him without him even sinning once.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he said he didn't want to be a witness. My daughter, she talked to that one friend who told her parents, and it was fine. But then when my daughter talked to her other friends, she did not even say anything about her reasons or anything. She just said, we're not going to be witnesses. I love you. Her friend wanted reasons. She said no. Well, then that friend called the other friend because they were like a trio. And so now both of those girls are saying Jordan was spreading apostate information together. So now you have two witnesses, and we all know the two witness rule stands as solid gold.
Right.
So shortly after that, we were all removed in September. And I think that's around the time I talked to you. But In August, right before the wedding, we moved from my house in the neighborhood of the congregation across town. I upgraded my family's house to from a 13 square foot house to a 2,300 square foot house, and we're doing good. I work. Me and my kids are all here. My mom was living with me. She just went back home because, of course, she doesn't like what's going on with us exactly. And she, of course, as soon as I started posting things, people started calling her. People who have had no interest in her whatsoever the past 2 years that she's been separated from my dad and going through cancer. Now they want to know what's going on with Melina and the kids. but she moved back to her house because she's filing for divorce from my dad. And
can she do that?
What? File for divorce?
Yeah.
Yeah, for adultery. She never forgave him.
Right.
She still, the adultery came out in 2019, and she's never forgiven him in any manner.
And is that why your dad was disfellowshipped for the adultery?
That is why he was disfellowshipped for hiding an affair for over 20 years. Mind you, the woman he first slept with when I was 11, that woman, she's been dead for 7 years. She took that shit to her grave. He thought he had gotten away with it, but I guess he must have told the new girlfriend. So it all came out.
Oh, so who told on him?
The new whore that he slept with.
Oh, she confessed it. Okay.
She went and confessed, but yet she never stopped with my dad because she's after his money. My dad has a construction company.
Mm.
So she sees the money. She sees the money coming in. She's not going to stop. She's after his money, and he's too stupid to see it.
Is he back?
But no, he's still there. He's in sign language group because he's deaf in one ear from Meniere's disease, and they will never reinstate him. He barely logs into meetings, but yet he claims, listen to this. This is my fault. This is how I know certain things. He let a pedophile who confessed move onto our property when I was 8 years old, and that pedophile had just done something like 4 years before because we were close family friends. And I just found this out like 6 months ago, that this person who I called my uncle all these years, he never did anything to me. I know he didn't do anything to me. But he went and he confessed. My dad told me about this. This is something interesting. He went and confessed to the elders and said, look, I touched my sister-in-law, whatever, blah, blah, blah. They wrote a letter to the society, and the society said, you don't do nothing. You let him go to the police. Whether he went to the police or not, we don't know. It got put in his records that he touched a child and he could never be a ministerial servant or an elder, but they didn't do shit about it.
Uh-huh.
And that was 35 years ago.
Wow.
Because I know his sister-in-law and we're friends and we grew up together. I never knew that happened until my dad told me a few months ago.
So what is your relationship with your father now?
I keep the peace with him in the sense that my dad is a complete narcissist. He's the victim in all of this. It's all my mom's fault. It's everybody's fault. He does everything for us. I have a vehicle that is still in his name. And he liked to brag when he had to help me with the payment back in the day when I was really struggling. He moved out of my parents' house. He calls me to try to get pity sometimes. I've had heart-to-hearts, and I've told him how I feel, but there is no getting... We're okay right now in the sense that I keep the peace.
So have you talked to him about him being disfellowshipped at all?
Oh, yeah. Like, I've asked him, like, why are you even trying to go back? Like, to him, this is still the truth. I asked him what kind of witness he was. I asked it when the holidays were coming up and stuff. I said, how do you feel about this? He goes, well, I'm flexible. He won't buy his grandkids a birthday present, but if we invite him, he'll come, he said.
So do you think at this point it's some kind of, is it like a big ass brainwashing that's so deep it's like crazy?
It runs so deep. Yes.
Or is it some mental illness? Because I'm looking at my family. I call my family mental illness because I don't understand them.
But then that would mean that all Jehovah's Witnesses have mental illness.
Well, a lot of people do, though.
It's crazy to believe some of this shit, but yeah, but But I mean,
how can you like cheat for 20 years and know someone's pedophile and you're doing all this shit and then you're calling yourself sanctified? That's some right. deep issues. I don't know.
No, I think my dad definitely has some issues, and I've tried to get him to go. No, my dad has some mental issues. There's no doubt about it. But a big part of it is the brainwashing. But he does have mental issues because, for one, he started seeing this crazy doctor who is being arrested for stealing a medical ID. We have the proof. We have the articles. We have the news reports. Everything. And yet he is still seeing her 2 years later after she wrote a prescription and it killed someone, and she's still being indicted. And yet he gives and throws money away to her and says she helps him.
What the
she
hell?
She does not. She's a fake. She's a fake doctor hunter from South Africa, and she's a pretty woman. But the thing is my dad, for a pretty face, he'll do anything. Growing up, he used to have his hands all over my friends. He'd hug my friends more than he would hug me. Yeah. It would be so uncomfortable. And so, you know, it was just like, with my dad, he definitely has some issues. You cannot tell him anything, even with about this crazy doctor. I told him, you need to go to a real counselor. He feels going to see this doctor who has no degrees, no nothing other than a bunch of letters after her name that she faked, is a counselor. And he pays like thousands of dollars, $500 a visit to go see this guy, but claims to have no money. He gives my mom $200 a week as a allowance to live off of.
Wow. So question for you, where are you mentally? Like, what is your, okay, so you mentioned when I ask you who you are, you mentioned who you are, and you also mentioned that you're still not sure about certain mm-hmm. things. Where are you? Do you still have a Jehovah's Witness identity because it's so close to you leaving? Like, how do you feel? Are you like 100% out, or are you still having...
No, because for the first time in my life,
uh-huh.
we celebrated Halloween. I didn't feel guilty.
Oh, good.
We celebrated my daughter's birthday. My 10-year-old had her first birthday party a few days ago. First party ever because, you know, she was such a baby. We didn't do any... I wasn't doing anything, you know, because I was still disfellowship, whatever. Still mentally in. She had her first birthday party. I didn't feel guilty. I feel free in a lot of ways. I feel like I have mentally... This is how I feel, and I don't know how to identify it yet because I feel like... I still have stuff I want to say, and that part of me, that little bitter part of me that I'm kind of fighting with, I guess, is, and I will tell you, I've acted on it a couple of times out of anger, like this one witness who treated me like shit my whole life. Every time, I never did anything to her. She's been trying to steal this dead woman's kid and blackmail the widower to steal the kid. And I saw pictures of them on Instagram, and I sent her a DM, and I said, you know, it's pretty sick how you're stealing the kid. And by the way, I don't know why you were always a bitch to me. She never responded, of course, I'm pretty sure. Maybe that might have had something to do with the call I got from the elders. But mentally, there are those little struggles, and that's why I'm sharing that, because I did do that, and that was petty, and I didn't need to do that. But it was like this person was always ugly to me every chance they got. I never had any kind of altercation with this person. And my friend who shunned me before anything ever happened was friends with that person. And that's how I knew. And not only did she do ugly to me, she did ugly to my daughter when she was trying to steal this kid. She took friends of my daughter's and created a little group and left my daughter out of it. Like, these people are just ugly. Most of them, or a lot of them, are just ugly and sick and twisted.
Yeah.
And they do it all in the name of their self-righteousness. Like, that one walks around with her nose up in the air. She came up to me, that same bitch came up to me one time and said, after my daughter gave a talk, my 14-year-old, she was probably like 10, you did a great job on her part. I looked her straight dead in the eye and I said, guess what? I didn't write her part. She did. Like, what the fuck? Who does that?
Yes, a backhand compliment.
Some back-ass hand saying I'm doing shit for my kid and my kid's not doing anything herself. Uh-huh. Like, fuck you, bitch. Sorry. I do have a very big potty mouth now.
No, it's... Hey, all of this, the podcast about being raw, being you, expressing yourself, And because I'm done with the 2020 bullshit of we had to put on a mask, we had to be polite, we had to like kiss ass and eat shit. So
exactly. I'm tired of eating shit.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, when you ask me where I'm at mentally, it's like a part of me wants to go on there on my Instagram or on that, the one bitch who made my daughter's life hell and always kept her out. My daughter was best friends with this girl's little girl. But every time I turned around, she caused some shit. She was a spoiled fucking stay-at-home fat ass mom who didn't do shit. But any little thing she did, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm so this. I mean, I met some of the most laziest, fucking spoiled-ass people in the religion. And I was just, I couldn't believe it. And I'd be willing to always take her kid, but, like, it was never like, oh, let me include your kid. Not, like, she would go out, she would always fight me for that friend that I told you was, like, that I grew up with, and they took my son to Japan. Mm-hmm. She was close to that family. So she did not like when I came back into the picture and came back into the religion, and they took us in. And the husband always talked about me as a sister. Did he call her his sister? Hell fucking no. So at one point, she did this. She was really ugly. And she said, yeah, Melina likes to call people her family that aren't really her family. Isn't that the whole point of the fucking Jehovah's Witness shit?
What the hell? Wasn't that the whole
fucking point of Matthew? What's that scripture I always used to like? I think it's Matthew 12:30. Whoever these are, you leave your brother, your mother, and your father, and you will get 100 times brothers, sisters, cousins, mothers, whatever.
Yeah. Like, what the hell?
What the fuck? Isn't that the fucking point, you stupid bitch? And it was all because she was jealous.
Yeah.
She was jealous of the fact that I was close to this family, and it's so funny because. And it shows, because when the wedding came up for my son's friend, oh, all of a sudden, the groom's mom, who could barely stand that person most of the time, oh, they were best friends now. Why? Because they put her as the wedding planner. Because that person will do anything for that family. That person kisses that family's ass so much. I don't kiss ass like that. I'm your family. I'm going to be there for you. I'll do anything you need. But you know what? Even that family, they didn't come help me when it was time for my roof. They were just, they're just those type of people. Like, you know, we'll hang out. We love you. You know, if you can keep up with us and afford to keep up with us financially, which I barely did, going out to eat with them every meeting and after every day. Imagine 3 kids, single mom, paying out to eat. My kids knew we ordered water and sometimes we shared a plate. But I did it just so they could get the social aspect, because that was the only social they would get after sitting 2 hours at the fucked up meeting to be able to be with their friends. That's why we went.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but there's those people. And when you ask where I'm at mentally, there's those certain people. I finally said something to my dad's whore. And oddly enough, I expected a lash out from my dad. But when his whore went to go talk to him, he said, I don't want to hear it. Because me and him had a conversation about a week ago, which is why I say we're okay, where I let him have it. And he tried to say, well, this is in the past. I said, fuck that. You've been reminding mom of the past every single fucking day for 40 years. So you don't like me reminding you of your past?
Because yeah.
He bragged. One time I got behind on my car payment, which I'm not going to lie. After he started bragging about my car, paying my car, you think I gave a fuck about killing myself to make my car payment?
Yeah, you so can still pay it.
I got behind, and then my income tax came, and I paid up what I owed. Like I said, kept my word. A month later, I'm at a hospital with a friend from out of town, and she's like, yeah, your dad says he pays your car, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what? He covered me for a couple of months here and there, and it wasn't even like a couple of consecutive months. It was like, oh, okay, I'm short here, or, you know, like that kind of thing.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, if he's going to brag to everybody that he pays my car, have at it, asshole. You know, that was my theory. And that's what I told him. I mean, I'm not saying anything I didn't have in the heart to heart with my dad. And he was like, well, that's in the past. It is. But you don't let go of the past, so why should we? And that's what I was trying to tell my dad. I was like, you need to decide. You're living this life where you're like, oh, I want to be a witness, but I'm flexible. You don't know what you want. And you're miserable doing it. Your guilt is what caused us so much misery. And that's why I ultimately had the conversation with my children, because I was guilty. When we would go to Colorado and we went to California, I was still vaping weed, or I would go to get edibles, or when I wasn't, and I would hide it from my kids, obviously, because I didn't want to stumble them. And That alone, because I was always so open with my kids, I hated that. I hated having that guilt. So when I thought about it and sat down, I was like, oh my God, what about the guilt my dad had from beating the shit out of us? What about the guilt he had from the porn? What about the guilt he had from cheating on my mom? Like, if he's any kind of human, he had to have been carrying around that guilt all those years, which is probably why he flipped out at the drop of a hat on us.
Yeah.
And everything was our fucking fault because he wasn't facing the one thing that was actually his fault.
Right.
To this day, he blames the affairs on my mom not giving him sex. But you know what? Why didn't you follow the procedure and go to the elders and say, she's not giving it to me? Why didn't you examine the real reason, which you're the one that told me why she was so... The reason my mom was brought up, sex was bad. My grandma was raped. How do you think she was brought up?
And that's all of us too. Sex is bad. You're gonna catch AIDS. That's what my mom said when I was leaving. She said you're gonna catch AIDS and die. We're not even gonna do your funeral.
Oh my God.
Yeah. A tongue of knife.
Yeah, and it's horrible. And so I didn't want to have that guilt with my kids. Excuse me. I didn't want to have that guilt with my kids. I feel so free. How do I feel? I feel at peace. We have no secrets from my kids. My daughter says she doesn't know. She doesn't care who knows. But there's something that's going to come out about my daughter eventually. But my daughter has been free enough to come to me about the most private and personal things. And unfortunately, we did have a trauma happen since we've left.
Mm-hmm.
Someone hurt my child.
From the hall?
While we were in the organization.
Wow.
The whole reason my child never came and told me was because she was afraid of talking to the elders. She did not want to deal with the elders.
Yeah.
Well, that person who hurt my child, I called up their wife because they have a little girl now. That woman left her husband that night and he killed himself.
Mm.
This person was a very close family friend. I'd known this person since they were born, helped raise this person. Their mother was a very dear friend of mine who died in 2014 from colon cancer. So he had demons. He killed himself. He shot himself that night because his wife left. He never knew that. I guess my daughter knew because she was asleep and with everything that happened. But it finally came out. My child told me.
Hold on. Was he a witness?
He was an unbaptized publisher at the time.
How'd he get a gun?
No. He hurt my child in a sexual manner.
Yeah, but you say he shot himself?
How did he get a gun? His mom had a gun. His mom was a registered gun carrier. Lots of witnesses have guns for hunting and stuff.
What the hell? Hold on.
They all make their own rules.
I feel like I was from a black and white, was it that TV show back in the days?
Yeah, United Religion bullshit. My dad went to Ireland and he said that they had beards. The wives, elders' wives, had pink hair on their tips of their hair.
I'm done.
Goatees and beards, yeah. United my ass.
Whatever.
And so...
glad we're out. Now we're free.
So glad we're out. So that did happen, and I found out about that, and then we had to deal with it. My daughter did not want me to say or do anything about it.
Yeah.
I got permission from her, of course, because my kids know I won't break their trust unless they grant me, you know, the permission out of it. You know, she released me from my promise when she told me. And so, you know, we're dealing with things. Fortunately, she didn't have it as bad as some of these other ones. And I'm not trying to negate what happened to my daughter by no means, shape, or form. But I'm also not going to negate some of the trauma and horrendous things that have gone through some others. Others have gone through that I have met through the XJW websites.
Are you guys seeing a therapist for all this religious traumas?
I have been with a counselor for some time now, which was one of the things that kind of triggered me when I had to get on all sorts of antidepressants. I was like, this is just not okay. My children have told me that when they are ready, they will, but I'm not forcing it on them. So my daughter, I am observing everything, behaviors and everything. If I notice any kind of change, like a drop in grades, a drop in attitude, you know, things like that, we have an agreement that we will act on that immediately. But in the meantime, we communicate very well and, you know, we spend a lot of time together, and she stays busy with her extracurricular activities. So if I see that she doesn't want that, or if she all of a sudden changes that, then, of course, at that time we would act.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
You know, it's a shame. Go ahead.
Oh, because they say you can't force it on them. If you try to make them do it when they're not ready, it just will backfire on you and cause more damage than good.
Makes sense, yeah. You know, it's a shame that a structure that is made for someone's well-being, I would think, is just creating the opposite.
It really is.
Yeah, it's so sad. It's so sad. It's like teaching people, oh, love each other, be brothers, but then you're not doing that. Then what's the point of being there? It's just confusing. I don't understand any of it.
No, and it's every congregation, it's every hall you go to. There's a clique, there's... Either you fit in and you find one that you can make it in, or you don't. And if you didn't, you're out, and everybody just dismisses you. Oh, they weren't very strong. If you don't have a clique, you're not very strong.
Yeah.
If you don't have your own little gang or group that you talk to, you're not strong at all. You must be weak.
So question for you now is that why finally are you able to tell your story? Because we chat for a while, and also I wanted to respect your time and, you know, like how you're feeling, and I don't want to force it onto you or anything, and you talk when you're ready. So what made you ready to tell your story?
I've been thinking so much more about, because when we first started talking about fading, we were like, oh, we're going to fade out quietly. Nobody's going to know, you know. The thing was, is we were regular pioneers in a foreign language group. We had assembly parts. My kids all had assembly parts every year. There was no way we were going to get out quietly. And those that know me are and see that I'm out, the ones that I did talk to, they're like, how? How do you go from this spiritual giant, Melina, that you were to this? I'm hoping that they'll listen and they'll, even though I don't think I gave enough reasons yet, but I'm hoping they will see that if someone like me, who was like, I mean, I helped kids become publishers, and I hate it now because some of those girls that I love and worry about now, I can only imagine how miserable they are. If someone like me, there has to be a reason why I left. As devoted as I was, as much as I gave my all, they had me in charge of Pioneer Breakfast. They had me in charge of, like, they were like, oh, we'll put a brother to help you. Bullshit, they never did. Like, I did everything I could for everyone I could. There is nobody that can say I did it without asking for anything in return. Why would I leave Jehovah's Organization as grateful and as many times as I told them, look, I woke up, I finally lived up to my dedication and blah, blah, blah. There has to be a reason. It's because this is fucked. And there's no way I would have fully woken up, because my question was for years was, tell me about the money. What's going on with the money? What's going on with the money? I didn't get that answer until January of 21 when I finally found Lloyd. and found the videos of where they have this. You've got people in Bethel recording shit and posting it, saying, "Oh, this, we're going to make 600 and something million dollars from consolidating these congregations. Where's that money going? Oh, to a new studio." I wanted to know about the money. Why would I ask these questions? There has to be a reason, because I did. I loved Jehovah and I loved Jesus, and I truly felt that we were supposed to live according to the way Jesus was. You welcome everyone. You treat everyone with love. You treat everyone with kindness, and you treat everyone the way you want to be treated. So if I chose to walk away from all of that, there had to have been a reason, and there's no way I would have done it if people hadn't shared their stories, if they hadn't posted about their stuff, if I hadn't found some of the girls on TikTok that are posting about their XJW stuff. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go quietly, but there was no way we were going to go quietly. But there's no way I could have gone, period, if I hadn't found those others that have told their story and not been afraid to.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like, I don't know if I'm thinking too highly of myself to think like my stupid story can count. I don't know if it can, but you know, maybe it can help someone. Maybe someone I love will say, "Oh, Melina, let me see what the hell she said." You know,
I rarely hear a story where someone just left because of other bullshit. It's usually, I mean, like, I'm one of those people, because I just left and I was like, this is bullshit. Like, things that happened to you, and like I was saying, like, I'm all shocked at all these stories, but I'm sure everyone I've spoken to and on those groups is similar stories of crazy shit. So obviously it's happening on the grand scale, and telling your story is definitely helps, because people will be like, "Oh, I'm not alone." Example, if I was still in there and I heard all these stories, I would be curious to know more.
Right.
Yeah.
And I told my kids, I asked my kids how they felt about it, and my son, they said they didn't care if I talked about it. I told them I thought about getting ready and making some videos and talking, you know, telling some stories. And, you know, but I mean, I keep posting on my thing is do the research. When Splain's talk came out about don't believe the media, don't believe the internet, don't believe everybody's lying to you but us.
Yeah.
That was the most conspiracy theory bullshit I've ever heard.
That's what a narcissist will tell his wife.
That's what molesters tell a child. You can't tell nobody. Don't believe nobody. Nobody's going to believe you.
Yep.
Or, you know, it's not the truth. Everyone's lying to you but me.
Yep.
You know, all that stuff helped wake me up, and all those videos helped wake me up. I got started with what I went through, but the thing about it, though, is all those stories that I told you, those all happened while I was active, and I stayed active. I kept trying. I kept pushing through. I might have moved halls just to get away from the bullshit a little bit, but I kept pushing through. I was like, this is the truth. This is, you know, even though I had these doubts, but until I really did the research and I really read into it, and even the doctrines are bullshit, and just all of it. When you find out why Rutherford took away birthdays and this and that, and then when you find out that oh, bridesmaids, witnesses use bridesmaids, what's the pagan origin for that? To cast off the spirits and confuse the spirits so they don't hurt the bride? But yet witnesses do it. They do the ring, which is eternal bond, but God says the bond ends at marriage. But witnesses do it. They don't believe in birthdays, yet the only thing they will celebrate is the tradition of the three wise men who showered the baby Jesus with gifts by doing baby showers left and right. I had an epiphany about that, and I was like, I don't know how many people actually realize this. The only thing that they really do celebrate is part of Christmas, when every child is born, they shower with gifts, just like the three wise men. I don't think people realize that.
Wow.
I was like, how ironic is that?
Wow.
Oh, but Satan said the wise men. No, he didn't, but okay, and then I find out their Bible's all twisted, too. That's neither here nor there, but all I want is for people to do their research. And the one thing that they're being instructed not to is to do research. And it's sad. And it's sad that they're not seeing the flag in that. So I decided to tell because hopefully it'll help someone. And hopefully it'll help me. You know?
Yes, certainly.
I went through all of this, and we're still obviously still transitioning, but we had the best Christmas, we had the best New Year's, we had the best holiday. I'll be 40 on Sunday.
Without wow, happy ounce of guilt. Early birthday.
Thank you. It'll be my first time actually celebrating it because we never celebrated it when I was even married to my ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
I got messages from people saying I chose a man when I started posting my boyfriend of... We've been together now 7 months. I chose a man over my kids, but I have a very, very amazing man in my life that has really catered to me emotionally, as messed up as I am emotionally, and is very patient and kind and more than I could have ever asked for.
That's great. So, you have support.
I really do, and his family's been very welcoming, and he's just, fortunately, he's not into organized religion, and he's just completely supportive of this whole transitioning time for us, and he's just, you know, everything that you're told that you never see a Jehovah's Witness man do that they're supposed to do for their women, he does it.
Ironic.
Ironic, yes. But I had someone tell me, one of my friends, it's not real. It's never going to last. It's not real.
Oh, whatever.
You don't know my boyfriend. He's just an amazing person, and he comes from an amazing family. And, you know, I've been very, very fortunate. I did date some dogs. I had my share.
Yeah.
While I was out there looking, you know, it wasn't like I went for the first person. They don't know that, but that was the first person that I said he could meet my children. Mm-hmm. And I didn't date for 10 years. I dated one brother, who was my friend, the one that is an elder, his best friend, and he played with my emotions for 8 months and then was cheating on me with some sister in his hometown. But other than that, I didn't date anyone for about 10 years because I wanted to protect my kids and I didn't want to put him through that. But he was the first man that I said, yep, he can meet my kids. And he's been an amazing blessing from the universe. I just can't even... I don't have the right words, but I hope that some of my friends that do hear this, if they do hear, they know I love them, if they made it all the way through. And one of the things I told my friend, the one that ended up shunning me, the spoiled housewife, she's like, being a witness is who I am. Bullshit. No, it's not. Because being a witness is not who any of them are.
Yeah.
They think it is. That's who they think they are. But if they really sit down and they say, oh, no, you're judging. I'm not judging you for your actions. I'm just saying sit down and look at reality.
Yeah.
If you're watching supernatural shows or you're watching Twilight or you're okay with vaping CBD with THC in it, you're doing this, all these different things that I know people are doing. You're making your own shit work for you, which is fine, but own it and realize you can't live this life of that they're demanding of you.
Yeah.
And so she's like, well, I know Jehovah, those are Jehovah's people. I know. How do you know? And that's what I want these people, my friends and family, to say. I want them to figure out, how do they know? Pay attention. Do the research. I'm in such a better place. Yes, I still have those little things that I want to kind of tell those few people. Like, you know, like that movie, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, you're cool. Fuck you. Fuck you, fuck you.
Yeah.
But I know it's not worth it. You know, I'll take the small victories as they come. Maybe once in a while I'll run into them in person and I can tell them how I really think if I get the nerve. But I hate confrontation. But yeah, so as of right now, we're starting off the new year free and in our home that we moved into a few months ago, and we're doing good.
First year of total freedom. That's wonderful. I'm so happy for you guys.
Thank you. That's I really appreciate you hearing me out.
Yeah, I appreciate you telling your story too, and you're welcome. I cannot, you know when they say, I cannot feel you, because you know, I'm not you, but I can, I call it, have similar stories, and I've heard so many other people's stories, and we have like similar backgrounds, so I totally understand.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I say the same thing when I'm talking to someone. I'm like, I don't want to insult you by saying I know what you're talking about, but I really can relate, or I really understand it. Like, like I've met a couple of sweethearts on these apps, and I've kind of taken them as my little adopted daughters, and checking in on them because there's so much trauma behind it, behind what they've gone through, and it's just horrible. And I want to help, and I've always been the type of person that wants to help. And if this is a way I can help, then at least I'll be doing some good.
Right.
Because that organization is so damning and does so. I didn't realize until I joined this group how much damage. I thought I was the only one. How much damage it genuinely does.
Yeah, the world is full of turmoil. It's crazy. Crazy.
It is.
Well, thank you so much again, Melina, for being on here, telling your courageous story and your life. And right now you're living your best life, and I'm so happy for you. And
thank you.
It seems like you are out of it altogether. And it's, I feel like it's okay, because when you're in a journey of discovering who you are, and you are delayed in that journey because you are not allowed to. So that's perfectly okay.
Yes, to experience that.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I had my own journey. I left at 20 years ago. So it's kind of like, you know, it's so, and I know some people who have left last year or even like early this year. And then I met people who've been there for 55 years. So we all have our personal journey and reasons and lessons.
Right.
So none of it, because like some people go like, oh man, I couldn't believe I was there for 60 years. Well, who said there's a timeline for anything? It's like, it was that, what is the lesson, and how are you continuing your life now, basically?
Right, and that's what I want my kids. I hate that they miss so much. My kids aren't mad at me for it, thank God. But I don't want them looking back negatively. They say they do have fond memories of it, of things that happened to them in the organization. So we just want to move ahead and just be happy and live our best life and learn from it the best way we can.
Yes, certainly. All right, so I'm going to let you go for now. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much again. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye.